Well, if you look in your sermon insert, you'll see the date says August 7th. That's not really a misprint for this week. As some of you know, last week I was scheduled to preach, and Saturday morning I woke up with extreme pain in my side and had a kidney stone. And it was extremely painful. Hopefully never go through it again. And I was able to pass on Monday. And I want to thank you guys for all the prayers and concerns towards me for that. I deeply appreciate the emails and just people asking me how I was doing and letting me know that you guys care about me. So hopefully I never have that happens again. I was able to catch it, and they're analyzing it now, so I'll be able to make the dietary changes. But I deeply missed being here last week on Sunday. I love seeing you guys. I love Trinity. I love the people here. I love preaching. And so I'm glad to be back and preach this sermon that was originally last week, but I heard God had different plans, and Gary gave a great message, and through last Sunday's messages, both in the first service and second service, six people gave their life to Christ. So yeah, that's really amazing. So I guess if I had to endure a little pain for six people to spend eternity with God, I guess, you know, that's okay. So So this week, we're going to be focusing on the golden rule. And it was something for me that really was a very interesting process learning about this golden rule, something I thought I knew when I first heard it, what it really meant. It's something that we hear as kids. It can almost sound like a Hallmark card. You hear stuff like, it's not the number of breaths we take, but the number of moments that take our breath away. Singing like no one is listening. Love like no one's been hurt, dance like no one is watching. Shoot for the moon, even if you miss, you'll land among the stars. And the golden rule is, do to others what you would have them do to you. Sounds very Hallmarkish, sounds very cliche, something that sounds really like, okay, it's nice Sunday school thing, it's the churchy answer, but really, it's hard to live up to. And we may not really understand. It may just seem like be nice to other people. And that's pretty much what we get out of it. And that's what I thought when I first read it. And have thought about it mostly for most of my life in that way. Very simplistic way of understanding it. Well, this morning, we're going to be looking at this phrase, the golden rule, and hopefully seeing something much deeper than just be nice to other people. And it's something that I'm really excited to share with you guys this morning. To start, we're going to look at this in three different ways this morning, okay? We're going to start by diving pretty deep right off the bat. Then we're going to move into looking at how what we set as the foundation of understanding this verse moves into its implications for our life and the meaning of it. And how we can understand the difference of what it really means and what Jesus is really doing with that phrase. And then we're going to apply that to our life. Okay? So deep. Then we're going to look at the implications for the foundations of that deep stuff that we looked at. And then apply it to our life. So to start with the deep section here. Okay, we all ready? Got our thinking caps on? We first want to understand how God gets people to know who He is. How God gets people to know who He is. The primary way God does that throughout all history has been taking things that already exist in the world, in culture, shifting them, tweaking them just a little bit, but that little bit He changes has immense implications and really turns people to the true God. We're going to look at two examples. There's a lot through the Bible that shows this. But the first example, and probably the best one, is the book of Leviticus. And you think, well, the book of Leviticus, that's pretty boring stuff, right? I mean, you gotta like trudge through that. I mean, if you want to get through Leviticus, that is dedication right there. It does seem very irrelevant, right? It's a lot about sacrificing animals, temple regulations. It can be pretty difficult to work through. It might be the stuff you read in the Bible if you're having a hard time falling asleep. But actually, at the time, it was revolutionary. At the time, it was revolutionary, the ideas that were put forth in Leviticus. What I mean by that is the idea of animal sacrifices or sacrifices to any degree to a god of any sort was nothing new to the people at that time. Outside of the people of Israel, people were sacrificing their crops, they were sacrificing animals, they even were starting to sacrifice babies to their gods. Because they knew inherently that these false gods they were worshiping needed to be appeased. They were somehow angry with them. And so they knew that they had to get on God's good side. So they constructed their type of altars, their type of sacrificial system. And they just would sacrifice stuff, walk away, and not really know if they were good with God or not. Their God, their false God. They didn't really know what covered which sin, what would make God forgive them for certain things. So the true God, seeing that, implements the book of Leviticus. He talks to Moses and he says, sacrifice this particular animal for this particular sin, and you can walk away from the altar knowing you're forgiven for that sin. That was a huge idea at the time, never put forth. People would walk away, and the other religions and the other idols that were worshipped, people would walk away and have this anxiety about, am I still good with God? Is that forgiven? Should I sacrifice more? Do I have to do 10 more animals now? Or well, now you need, that didn't work. Maybe we have to sacrifice our baby now. But God offers a way for the people of God to understand who he is and for the surrounding cultures to see, wow, this God actually is a God of peace. We can walk away from the altar and have a peace with God knowing that that sacrifice covered that sin. Amazing. That small shift had huge implications. Going ahead now into the New Testament, something we're all very familiar with is the cross, right? Cross of Christ. Years and years before Jesus showed up, we know that people were being crucified by the Romans. That was nothing new, right? Hundreds and hundreds of people, maybe even thousands of people, were crucified on a cross by the Romans. Very well known among the Roman world. Jesus wasn't the first person to be crucified. It wasn't something new. God didn't come up with the idea of crucifixion and said, oh, that's what I'm going to sacrifice my son on. He already did something happening in the world, okay? He takes that emblem of suffering and shame that was known among the Roman world, and he takes it and he turns it. He reshapes it. He repositions it in culture. And he says that emblem of suffering and shame and death is now an emblem of victory, of hope, of salvation, of forgiveness. He conquered death. And now the symbol that was and stood for death now stands for life. This is the way, this is like a fingerprint of God on the world. He always does this. There's a lot of other examples in the Bible that show this, but it's something that we always see. And so coming to the golden rule is really no different. For the general idea of the golden rule was something that was around before Jesus showed up. Different religious teachers were teaching general ideas close to the golden rule. And let's look at some of those up here on the screen. We have Confucius. He says, do not do to others what you would like, what you would not like to yourself. That was a couple hundred years before Jesus. Buddhism, so this is Buddha. Hurt not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful. Hinduism, this is the sum of duty. Do not do to others what you would not have them do to you. And Judaism, this is rabbinic Judaism. This is the Pharisees, Sadducees, the rabbis at the time who was teaching several years before Jesus. This is what they came up with. What is hateful to you, do not do to your fellow man. Now, all of these have the general idea of the golden rule. But there's something that all of these have. And they're all in the negative. All the human religions, human religious teachers, were close The image of God is on them. They were striving for God in the dark, reaching around, trying to figure out what the true path is. But they all fell short. And we're going to look at the implications of that being all of those being in the negative in a little bit. But we're going to see how Jesus phrases it, how it's completely different and is really amazing of what he taps into when he gives the golden rule. Now let's look at the golden rule. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Absolutely amazing what Jesus is doing right here. The true God is aware of all the other, you would call, silver rules in the world. All put in the negative. If you were able to follow the civil, let's look at some examples of what it would be like to follow silver rule. Let's say you're sitting at a coffee shop, okay? And you see someone behind the counter, and they're just really busy, really stressed out, right? You can tell they're having a pretty rough day. You think, what would I not want to be done to me? I would not want to be hassled. So you get up from your seat and you walk out of the store, walk out of the coffee shop. You don't do anything. You could sit at home all day, not engage in anything in the world, and follow the rest of the human religion's teaching on this type of rule. But Jesus says, do. Do something. You're sitting at the cafe. You see someone who's super stressed out behind the counter, having a rough day. Jesus says, if you were that person, what would you like to have done to you? And you think, I'm going to go give that barista behind the counter, that person behind the counter who's having a really rough day, I'm going to go up there and give them a $5 bill and say, you know, you're doing a great job. A small change in thought that Jesus implements here completely changes how we understand people around us and how we understand engaging in the world around us with the people around us. Absolutely amazing what Jesus is doing here. So he calls us to go do things. That is a huge difference between everything else and what Jesus is saying here, what he's showing people at the Sermon on the Mount. So with that, now we're going to look at the implications of what Jesus is teaching here. Some of the implications is that the golden rule forces us and assists us in putting ourselves in another person's shoes. And that is really reflective of who God is. We have to see an inherent dignity in all people around us because we see ourselves with an inherent dignity. This is something that Jesus is teaching, which would be so new to the people at that time. People at that time, the people that he was talking to on the Sermon on the Mount, would give honor and respect to those who are rich, those who are privileged, but yet would walk right by someone hurt on the ground. People would not come close to leper colonies. People would walk right by the sick and the poor, but they would go over and beyond to make sure that if there was someone who is wealthy, that they would be able to have the seat of honor in their house. And Jesus says, everyone should be treated with the same amount of dignity and respect. And you can't get that with the silver rule. You can't get that with the other ones, because with the other ones, with the negatives, the passives, you can't put yourself in another person's shoes. You can't think, what would I like to be done to me if I was that person? If I fell down, what would I like done to me? Well, I would like to be helped if I was that person. So what Jesus is challenging us to do here is to start for us to lose self, to die to self. We must be learning every day how to be able to see life and see someone else's story through their eyes. Through their eyes. And not because we're good people, but because we have a God who did that for us, right? We have a God who did not remain distant, did not remain detached from the world, did not pretend to know what it was like to be human, but he came down as a human. He came down to seek and save the lost. He experienced what it was like to be here. He grew in knowledge and wisdom. He experienced the sorrows of this world. And he took on our sin on the cross. So we grow in our relationship with God and get closer to Christ by following the golden rule, not by just being nice to other people, but by thinking of how their story is, putting their story ahead of yours, trying to understand what it's like to walk a mile in their shoes. Because when we do that, we start understanding the heart of Christ. We start understanding what Christ did. And we're able to grow closer to him through those new thoughts we have about understanding other people's stories and new actions that we take when we actually do to others how we would have done to ourselves. And so that is one of the implications of the golden rule, is that different from everything else, all the other religious teachers, this one forces us to see life in another person's shoes. Now that can be hard. That can be hard, especially when it comes to our enemies, the people that we disagree with in the world. This passage, this golden rule, is also found in Luke. Found in Luke in the section of loving your enemies. And it's put there probably because it's the hardest to do with those people, right? It's the hardest to do with the people who rub you the wrong way. It's the hardest to do with the people who are on the fringe of society, people who you disagree with maybe. You think of the political season we're in right now. Think of those who have opposite political views than you. How is it, instead of berating them, try to understand their story, where they're coming from. Think of the poor. Think of trying to get to know their story, what they're like, why they're homeless. Okay, you may walk by someone, you may drive by someone with a sign, and they may be a veteran who's now homeless. I bumped into one when I was in Dallas, when I was doing street evangelism. If I was to walk by, he looked like any other homeless person. But he served in Vietnam. We have to get to know people's stories before we make judgments of them. When we start thinking of ourselves less, dying to ourselves, we are able to start connecting with other people and sharing with people the love of Christ. Now, when we start to do that, when we start to see things through other people's eyes, and start trying to do to them as we wish they would do to us, there really isn't a promise that they will become nice to you, right? That is the next implication of this passage here. Jesus doesn't give a little footnote. He doesn't give a little parenthesis or at the end of this of saying, oh, if you do these things, if you become nice to other people, if you start seeing things through their eyes and really start to understand them and trying to treat them with dignity and respect, that they're going to do that in return. That's something I think that we just kind of inherently think will happen and hope will happen, right, if we do that. That life will just start to become smooth if we do that. Jesus actually promises the opposite. So what is going to sustain us as the people of God to continue to show love and kindness to those who maybe we don't understand? How do we continue to really seek out ways of understanding people's story and having compassion on them without becoming bitter? We need to lose the expectation that they are going to, in return, be nice to us or start to understand our story. And we have to do this because that is who God is. God doesn't expect anything in return. Our God is a God who unconditionally loves us. And this world needs a people He needs followers of him that will continue to show love relentlessly to people who continue to kick us in the teeth, that speak badly about us, to continue to do nothing back, when we continue to show love to them, because that is who God is. We neglect him daily. We sin daily. We constantly say to God in times of our day, God, actually, I think this sin is going to really fulfill me deeper than really what you trust and what you say is going to fulfill my deepest needs. So I'm going to choose this sin over really following you. And you know what God says to that? I love you anyway. I'm going to continue to bless you. Even though you neglected me for years, I'm going to bless you like crazy. That's what grace does. That is what grace is that it is unconditional love and kindness to people who continue to neglect who the true God is. He continues to show love and mercy, not only to his people, but to his enemies. It's called prevenient grace. Prevenient grace is the unconditional grace that God gives to people who continue to neglect him. He provides for them. He cares for them. He gives jobs to them. People who don't even give God a time of the day, who give him a thought in the day, he continues to provide for their families. And they don't thank him at all. He continues to do that. We need to be a people who do that. And that is what the golden rule does. It doesn't have any contingency on it. It says, this is who I am as your God, the true God. I am taking what people know in the world and saying, actually, it's like this. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Period. That's it. There's nothing else. There's nothing that's saying life's going to come better. Actually, it's probably going to become worse. But if we're getting bitter over people not becoming nicer to us, then that reveals in our heart, why are we really doing this? Why are we really doing this? Are we doing this to please man? Are we doing this to make our life easy? Are we doing this to come to know the sufferings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Are we coming to know and participate with him in his sufferings when we suffer? In the Sermon on the Mount, he says we should be joyful when we go through suffering. He completely flips things around. He says, actually, I'm going to set things up for you in life that's probably going to be pretty hard. But you're supposed to be different than the world. The rest of the world wants a contingency on that. The rest of the world believes that, oh, if I do good for someone else, somewhere down the line, something good is going to happen to me. That's karma. God doesn't work like that. God operates in grace. Grace is completely different than karma. That if I do something good to someone, they're going to return the favor to me somewhere down the road, or life's going to work out somehow because I did this incredible good deed for someone who disagreed with me, or I tried to really sit down, understand them, and see life through their eyes, and they continue not to know my side of things. Why do we get angry at that? Because we don't fully understand yet, and we need to grow in our understanding of who our God is and the nature of our God. Above everything else in this world, we want to know our God. And we do that through continually showing love and kindness to those who continue to treat us badly. And because of that, we will get to know Jesus in a new way. You will get to walk closely with Jesus and walk even closer with Jesus if you make that decision today to do that. To start intentionally continue to think, how can I make this golden rule more part of my life? How can I start thinking and implementing this in my day-to-day life? Now, it may not happen tomorrow, your life's going to be completely transformed. It may not happen in a month or a year. But if you continue daily to have this on your mind and to look for opportunities, to look to people and say, man, I really disagree with them. Or, you know, those are some people maybe in society that I just have a bad taste in my mouth about. I do not like them really at all, if I'm just going to be completely honest. These people maybe in your family that, you know, I just don't like them. You know, they continue to be mean to me, to continue to take, and they never give. God calls us to continue to love those people. So this morning, I want you to think primarily about who Jesus is and his life and his death and his resurrection. I want you to think about how this golden rule ties to that. How he died for us, loves us, when he knew, even when he was going through it, people were not believing who he was. People were spitting on him. People were mocking him. Yet he continued to love them. Think about that this week, and think about how what you do in your day when it comes to this golden rule ties to that. Who are some people in your life that you can do something? Not just sit passively, not continue to avoid the confrontation or avoid that circumstance, but our God is a God of action. He created the world. He created people on the world. He said to the people, create. He likes doing things. He sent his Son. He sent his Holy Spirit. Again, that is the nature of who our God is. So he calls us to do. So this week, or maybe even right now, if you have that sermon insert, just write down maybe some people in our society. Maybe it's people over the Boyertown Inn. Maybe it's people down in Pottstown that you never really got to connect with or really have had any interest in getting to know. Maybe it is with all the politics stuff going on. Maybe you have a friend or some people at work or something who have completely opposite views of your political stance. Maybe it's someone who has a completely different view about God. Maybe you have an atheist friend. If you were that person, what would you want to be done to you? You would want to be listened to. You would want to be heard. You'd want to know that the other person understands your story, understands who you are. So get to know that person. Get to know their story so that you're able to, one, connect with them and hopefully open up an opportunity for you to talk to them about who Jesus is. Two, you get to participate in the sufferings of Christ as you continue to show love to people who will probably not show the same love or understanding in return. And that is something that Jesus promises, and it's something about the Christian walk that we stay true to. This life isn't going to be easy. And third, our lives are about glorifying Jesus Christ. It's not about being good people. It's about what's going on inside. And we talked a little bit about that bitterness. So I want you to think this week about if you can, maybe there has already been a circumstance in your life where you got bitter over something because you continued to show kindness to someone and they continued to either be mean to you or kick you in the teeth or not show the same in return. Think about that. Pray about that to God, about why is it that you cause bitterness? Is there something new that God can teach you this week that'll help relieve some of that and help you maybe go back into that relationship, go back into that situation, maybe with new eyes? Because through that, we're going to glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, with our life and with our heart attitude. So I hope this week goes well for you. I hope that God either brings someone into your path you're able to think about this golden rule, implement this golden rule into your life. I hope that God gives you the courage and the boldness to do this. He gives you the strength through his Holy Spirit to do that. Overall, I pray that this week somehow you grow closer to Jesus through living this out, and you get to glorify him through your life.